Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, it's me. I'm here. I'm back. I'm trying to sort something out with my outfit and I can't. Oh my god, what a... ugh, hellscape I'm living in! Today's a different episode, everyone. Audio listeners, hi, how are you? Welcome to the show. I'm still faffing with my... okay, there we go. And my mic's not in the right place. These are the things... Here we go. Because I want to recline, alright? Which is my weekly problem, my monthly problem. Kind of like when I ovulate. Yeah, I can't recline during those times. That's the main problem. My God. So the weird thing about today's episode is I'm alone. Oh my. Like, I don't have a podcast guest today, which is, you know, in a strange way, something I woke up the other day, and we're going to get to why I've decided to do this in a moment. And I just thought to myself, like, I can do this by myself. Like, having a podcast guest is great, and we've got loads of guests coming up, which is really cool and stuff like that. And as I said, we've got some like cool celebrity people coming on, and I'm in the middle of sorting that out. We're going to discuss some golden oldies, and you know, we got like Jake coming on to discuss the terrors of Lord of the Rings. I'm going to sip some water because I'm like dangerously dehydrated. I've been out all morning at a car show, so you can just tolerate this for a moment. Here's some more, everyone. Boiling hot water is delicious. Fight me on it in the streets. I don't care. I'll take you down. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. But I was like, I want to discuss a certain movie. It's a couple of movies, but there's one in particular. And no one I know is going to want to discuss this movie with me. No one I know has even like seen this movie. Because you're all idiots. But if you're listening, audio listeners, and you've seen this, congrats, well done, welcome. You're going to get on board. If not, we're going to have a breakdown. We're going to talk about it. So you're going to get on board as well. So everyone just get on board. And I was like, no, I'm going to go at this alone. This is like a radio episode. I don't need anyone. I don't have to arrange for people to come and record with me and go, oh, what time's best for you? Have you seen the movie yet? Have you watched? Ugh. Oh, this hot water's repeating on me. So I was just like, no. I woke up this morning. I was like, I have an hour free in my incredibly busy schedule. I can do this. This is fine. And we all know that I talk the most anyway. So who even needs a podcast guest? I'm just going to sip more water because I'm getting a headache from dehydration. Honestly, people. I should have done this before we started, but yeah.
Okay, hot water needs to cool down. And yes, I could add cold water, but I did, but it wasn't enough, and now we're living with it. But of course, I'm not really alone, because as we do every episode, the podcast gang is here. We've got the real Akumas, we got Big Boy Papa Kuma, we got Val, and we got the Giggly Wiggly. So everyone is here. I'm not technically alone, which is great, but it's nice. I'm actually quite enjoying it, because I can just woof on, and I haven't got to just be like, oh, do you remember that bit? Oh, and then like every episode, every podcast guest, they're always like, oh, I'm nervous, I don't know what to say. And I'm like, you'll be fine once you get on it. But, you know, some people are built for podcasts, some people aren't. It is what it is. So why are we here? Why did I have the urgency, if you will, to discuss a movie without bothering to arrange anyone to come here and be like, come on the show? Because, you know, who has time for that right now? Oh, I tell you why I don't have time for that. Because I'm playing the O2 Arena next week, everyone. Like, can we applaud for that? Like, I'm so alone in that moment, just me by myself clapping, no one's congratulating me. Yeah, I gotta play the O2 Arena next week with my band Queen Horizon. Check us out, obviously, on all social medias. I do this every episode, I don't care, I'm plugging this. And our 8th show is going to be at the O2 in Islington Academy, 20th of April, 7 o'clock. Tickets are on sale. Go to our social medias. Go check us out. So I've been in the studio so much, and I was in the studio last night. I'm so tired, but I'm living for it. I'm loving it. These are gifts of life, and it's going to be crazy. So I was like, I literally have time today to do this. So let's just crack this out. But my reason for this was the other day, I can't remember when it was. It was like literally like 2 days ago. I was on Prime. Not ordering things to my house. I try not to shop on Amazon Prime. I try not to shop on Amazon because, you know, as we know, it's a nightmare. And I feel like Jeff Bezos, I don't feel like, I know, Jeff Bezos has enough money. We do not need to support his brand. We shouldn't support a company that doesn't pay their workers. I will say this is the one annoying thing about having a co-host is I have to stop to sip. But, you know, we have Amazon as a TV thing. And along came a spider, not the film with Morgan Freeman's. Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows cropped up, and it's just recently been added. And I was like, oh my, people are gonna have a chance to watch a movie that I harp on about so much that no one has ever seen. Oh my God, I need to talk about this movie. Because I love this movie, but this movie is universally hated and panned. And I don't know. I don't really know how people felt about the third one. We're not going to talk about the third one today because, you know, we're better off. We're better off without the third one. We're better off without the game. We're better off. I think they did a book line. I honestly do. I'm going to Google that quickly now. Oh, look, when I Google it, I have who directed Book of Shadows because I don't know. But obviously, to open on it, I'm typing and my keyboard is so far away. Blair Witch book. It's all just the books that I already own, like the dossiers. No, I know that they did. Oh my God, my book is worth £25.90. Jesus Christ, I'm selling that on Vinted at the moment for like £8. They did like a book series. They did like a whole load of merch, didn't they? Like that was the thing in 1998. When the first one came out, not Book of Shadows, not number two. Oh my God, yes, you can buy merch, Blair Witch merch. Holy hell, I can't believe this was like actually a massive thing. Like, that's crazy. I'm just Googling merch right now. Audio listeners, I'm gonna stop. Anyway, like, you know, when the first one came out, there was like, you could buy like sticker packs, you could buy like books, you could buy like figurines. Blair Witch was a thing, and I think they're trying to recapture that, as I said, because we had the third one a few years ago. We had the game come out on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4. That was okay. I played it. It was what it was. There was a dog involved. I was stressed by that. And I don't like anything when there's a dog. What's the dog's name? Like Bullet? Who cares? Like, honestly, Rachel, who cares? What are you even talking about? No one cares about Blair Witch. I care about Blair Witch. All right. I'm so adequately hydrated now. Where was I? Ah, yeah. Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows. So it's just come out on Prime. Everyone, if you've got Prime, you're about to make a decision whether to watch it. Maybe it popped up and you went, what the heck is that? But obviously algorithm shows. I watch a lot of horror. And I was like, you know, so mine came up on my algorithm straight away. And I was like, all right, I own this movie. I bought this movie on VHS back in the day. I own it on DVD. This is a great film. I say great loosely. I really do. But, you know, it has its own... it has its place. And, you know, you could say that about so many sequels. But the thing is with Blair Witch 2, is it definitely has its own place. It's such an obscure film. It's so widely criticized for so many reasons. And a lot of those criticisms are really, really fair. And we're going to get into that. But if you've not seen Blair Witch, and you've certainly not seen Blair Witch 2, okay, let's have a rundown. So Blair Witch 1 is a film I scream about at strangers on bus stops, because you stand on top of a bus stop, not at a bus stop. I decide the language here. This is my show. Stop trying to tell me it's not. Everything has an S on the end. And celebrities. Oh, yeah, and sagas. And I didn't know the other day. I was like, okay, is Blair Witch a franchise or is it a saga? But then I think, like, what is the difference? Let's look it up. Like, I think, I can't be bothered to type. I think a franchise is when the films don't have any consecutive thing, and a saga is when it's one long-running story. But because I prefer saying sagas, we're going to say sagas. So Blair Witch 1 came out in 1998. It was the highest grossing independent film. It made, to this day, I still think it is like the independent film that had like the smallest amount of money go into it versus how much it profited off, which is great. Good for them. They made a whole bunch of coin, and it's really funny that their other films flopped, but we're not going to get into that. Who made the first one? Those brothers, or they were like film students or something? Someone in the comments, you know. I could Google it, but as I said, typing is a nightmare right now because I have to lean over and I don't want to lean over. I don't. I'm lazy. I'm unplugging my phone. That's as good as it gets. I'm unplugging my phone. Oh my God, y'all hear that? Jeez Louise. Everyone calm down. My phone has Queen Horizon stickers on it. I stan my own band, apart from them making me rehearse till God knows what time last night, and then me getting up really early for a car show. I was like, I'm not about this, sis. Last show though, we have to rehearse before the old O2. I'm gonna keep plugging that, and y'all gonna have to just deal with it or come to the show. I don't care which one you do. Actually, I do care if you come to the show, because it gives us revenue, it gives us money. Anyway, so Blair Witch 1, 1998, huge film. And even if you haven't seen it, you're aware of it. It's such a pop culture phenomenon. This film has such a place within pop culture. It's been parodied so many times by so many different, like, everything down to things like, you know, Family Guy to, like, Scary Movie to just, like, references on TV. Everyone knows what the Blair Witch is, whether you've seen it or not. And again, the Blair Witch 1 was very polarizing because people didn't get it. People were like, am I genuinely paying, like, how much was the cinema ticket in 1998? Like, $5 or whatever? To watch a snuff movie? No, Sandra, you're not. You're going to see a movie. Like, how could you be? Yeah, like, whatever. Like, how can you think this? But hey, man, people passed out watching The Exorcist, so, you know, people are dumb. And it's funny that we discuss that, because it's part of Blair Witch 2 is mass hysteria, is the ideology that, you know, if you plant the seed in an audience's head, be it through advertising, you know, or a film, or, you know, propaganda and stuff like that, people will believe, people will buy into anything. People genuinely went to see The Blair Witch thinking that they were going to go and see these people actually die. And that comes down to, like, the fantastic marketing of the original Blair Witch. It was the year before the film came out that they decided to release the website that had all the like police evidence and notes and what, you know, missing posters and the backstory of what's the witch's name? Ellie Kedwood? I literally have this godforsaken Wikipedia up here, and it doesn't actually say who the witch's name is. Who cares? Who cares? Right? Like, literally, who cares? The witch. It had the story of the witch and all this other stupid jazz. And so, like, you know, you've then got that. Then they made and again, a lot of people don't know this, and that's fine. They made a fake, almost like Unsolved Mysteries episode, like History Channel documentary about the Blair Witch, like, as in regards to the tale of Ellie Kedwood, whatever her name is, and Rustin Parr, who was the guy who, you know, they claim got possessed by the witch and took the kids up to his cabin in the Black Hills. Is that the name of it? My God, come on. Yep, the Black Hills. I'm so smart. And killed all those kids, which, you know, maybe that's his part-time job. No one's ever thought about that. But then I'm thinking, like, come on, dude. It's like the olden days. People are just going to die anyway. Like, children are just dying of, like, emphysema or putting them in a chimney or something. You know, get up the chimney. You just leave nature to take its course. Natural selection is a thing. I'm so tired. Why did I choose to do this today? Oh, yeah, I'm busy. And It's genius. Like this kind of shit is genius, you know. And my other, you know, whether you care about the Blair Witch or not, whether you don't like the movie, you have to look at the whole thing as encompassed together. And how they shot the movie is absolutely fantastic. And again, if you don't know, no shade, like, you know, no one's calling you out or anything like that, because a lot of people don't know, even movie nerds. Maybe if you're not into the Blair Witch, you're not going to research, like, how did you, you know, promote your movie? How did the actors feel? They would send the actors out every day. They had no relationship with them, like the directors. They gave them their handy cam, they gave them their map, they said, okay, you have to go here, here, and here every day. We will leave a milk cart, you know, like those, like, I'll describe it, those tubs that, like, milk crate. We'll leave them, it was gonna have food and it will have all the instructions in it, and they would put like a big flag in it so they would see it. And in each of these every day, there was an envelope, and everyone had to open their, each of the three actors had to open their envelope individually, and it would vaguely say a direction. So you know, like, Heather would get one and it would say, you're mad at Mike, and Mike Swan would say, you stole the map. And then Josh's one would say, you know, you're Switzerland, you're neutral, whatever the hell it was, whatever the situation they had to film that day. And then they would go, oh, okay, so obviously none of them know the other thing, so they have to, like, figure out what this means while they're hiking, while they're then filming, while that the crew, the very minimal crew that they had to help film this, are playing pranks on them that they didn't know were going to happen. So everything you get essentially on camera is, to a degree, real. You know, these are their responses. There's a really excellent, you know, example of this is Mike at the end, his final envelope said, you have to go up and then you have to go down and then you find Heather. So he doesn't know what the hell that is. So they're following this map that they've been sent, and then they find the house, air quote, Rustin Parr's house. And then he goes, and you see it because they filmed it, and he goes, oh, I get it, it's a house. Like, or something like that, he says, because he was like, oh, I have to go up, I have to go down, I get it, I have to go, you know. And it's fun things like that. And there's the scene as well where Mike and Heather are alone because Josh has been stolen. They didn't know that Josh was going to be kidnapped. They didn't know that Josh was going to be screaming in the middle of the night and they would hear it. Like, all of those responses were kind of, like, true. You know, it's really interesting. And there's a scene, yeah, where Mike's like, I found some cigarettes in the bottom of my bag. I think we're going to make it. Like, and that was their genuine feeling at that time. Because at this point, the directors were limiting how much they were giving them food wise and limiting them how much they were giving them, like, water and supplies and all this other stuff. So they were really, really, you know, what is it they say, like, when you're mentally trying to control people, you limit their resources, like their basic human resources, and that's how you can control people. Don't let them sleep, don't let them eat, and people will become docile, people will become more susceptible to control. And, you know, this is an interesting way of studying that. And I think the Blair Witch people go into it and go, it wasn't scary, oh, it was just a bunch of people in the woods, oh, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, yeah, you can say that from a just like a film point of view, but if you want to be like a nerd like me, or whoever, you know what I mean, and go, actually, I think you're fine, it's sub-Okanesque, and just be a douchebag, just be that douche at the party like I am, just going on and on about, like, actually, they filmed it, and it's a real response, and it's an interesting social study on deprivation and mind control. Be that asshole, dude. Do it. Join me at the party, this faux party that I've made up in my head. Sipping water, everyone, audio listeners. It's going cold now. I'm upset. Yeah, so, like, you know, the Blair Witch, as we know, they go into the woods, three people. They want to make a documentary, a student film documentary on the Blair Witch itself. They end up all getting lost. They end up going missing. They end up finding Rustin Parr's house, you know, and the end is really fantastic where, you know, Mike's facing the wall, which is apparently what Rustin Parr made the kids do when he killed the other kids because he has time on his hands. You know, moonlighting as a child murderer. He's like the Pied Piper, like tooting his little horn and just, you know, come this way, kiddies. I've got Mars bars. And do they have Mars bars in the order? Yeah, of course you got Mars bars. Everyone's got Mars bars. I've got some Mars bars and some mini eggs in my little house. No one's going to make you die and stuff. For a fictitious witch. Woo! What really annoys me about the third one is there's this actor in it, and I don't know his name, but he looks like one of my celebrity husbands, Jake Gallagher. And I'm like, you're so close to being Jake Gallagher, and you're, imagine if they were brothers. Oh, we're Googling that. Okay, hang on a minute. Everyone. Okay, but I'm going to have to lean. Blair Witch. Thrice. Your baby. Give me the cast. Who was it? Who was it? Wes Robinson plays Lane. He's not anything to do with Jake Gallagher, but they look the same. They're the same human. He has the same face. Audio listeners, if you've seen Number Thrice, I'm sorry, because that movie's terrible. That movie is so bad. It's the guy who's like the neo-Nazi who like made the video and was like, he's been in loads of stuff, and I feel like I've never seen him in anything. He's in a film called Every Time I Look at These Frozen Waffles, I Think of You. So come on now, you know, get some. He was in Mad Men. I love Mad Men. I don't remember him in Mad Men. Who is he in Mad Men? Hawaii Five-O, State of Affairs. I don't know any of this. Phantom Fun World. It's got one star. Ooh, girl. That ain't good. Yeah, he's Jake Gallagher's brother. And I don't even think if I'm saying Jake Gallagher's surname correctly, but, you know, sue me, we're married. I don't need to know my husband. I'm closing all of these tabs on Blair Witch 3 because I don't want to look at that shit anymore. No one likes it. I hate that movie. Oh, I tried and I don't like it. It's not a good movie. Like, I can put, you know, draw the line and say it's not a good movie. It's boring. It's derivative. The characters are just numb. Audio listeners, have you noticed? This is the most I've spoken about films on a podcast. We're all going to be so bored by the end. You come here for the lulls. I did it for the lulz, like the meme on 4chan. Jesus. And instead you got me going on about my celebrity husbands. I had a conversation the other day and it was, let's get off topic because we're on brand. I had a conversation the other day where I was like, I can't remember all the celebrities I'm married to without their consent. Like Michael Fassbender, yes. Kevin Bacon, yes. Meatloaf, yes. John Candy, yes. Jake Gallagher, yes. Tommy Gunn, the adult star, yes. Pamela Anderson from Baywatch, but I only want to marry. No, I'll marry Pam now. She's a stunner. And I was like, I have so many more celebrity husbands and I don't remember who they are. Like, where are they in the world? Frank Carter from The Gallows. Yes, we're so married. You don't love me. I met him, bitch. I met him. Every time I go to a gig, I'm really blessed with the fact that I always meet the band. I don't know how I do it, but it's like really kind of like fun. There was a creeper the other day and they were there as well. And I was like, okay, yeah, just it's always the way I seem to just bump into the band. Maybe I've got like band energy, but it doesn't seem to happen to any of my celebrity husbands apart from Frank Carr is the only of my celebrity husbands I've met. And I'm like, come on, like, you know, we're married and I never see you. What kind of marriage is this? You're just leaving me to pick up the pieces. Anyway, so yeah, Blair Witch number one in the saga it's a pioneering film. Okay, like, you know, it was the film that coined the term found footage. It was, as I said, the highest grossing independent movie financially. You know, its marketing program was beyond anything that anyone had ever seen or heard of. It made people go into that movie and believe they were seeing kids about to die, like, in the real world. And you can hate that movie because you don't like it as a piece of entertainment. That's perfectly fine. That's what makes the world go round. We have differing opinions, and I love that. But you cannot deny that it was marketing, like its marketing was absolutely genius. The way the film was shot was very like Dogma, I think it's Dogma 95, it's called, or Dogma 94, you know, the way they did things like that. It's very much of that ethos, that like manifesto, if you will, the rule guides of making movies. It follows such an interesting path and pattern, and it's in such a great social experiment. And sometimes I watch that movie and I go, yeah, I don't really care about this movie, but I'll watch it because I'm so intrigued as to how it's developed. But, you know, as we're saying, if you're not into films, I can get why you wouldn't watch The Blair Witch. It's very niche. So, you've made a lot of money. Ka-ching. You're Artisian Entertainment, who I think were the distribution company for Twilight, so I need to do an episode on Twilight. Like, I feel like I just, it's so shit. I want to do one on the sagas, but there's like 5 episodes, and I'm like, that actually is a sagas, and I'm going to have to watch that shit. It's so bad. Oh my God. I would do it. I watched all of the hostels and wrote about them for this godforsaken website. Like, I'd done that. I've watched worse movie. I think I've actually probably watched worse movies than Twilight Saga. So I think I can probably suck it up. It's just I have to cope with it, you know. And it's like that phrase is, whether you want to admit it or not, everyone had a Twilight phrase. You either really, really, really hated it or you absolutely loved it. And no one was in the middle. And I was, I hated it. But I really, really hated the whole emo scene. Like, I was so against it. It was such just trash. The fashion was awful. The music was terrible. The whole aesthetic of it was vile. I hated it. It didn't fit anything. I'm very into aesthetics, as we know, fashion and like entertainment. So emo was just like the worst. So obviously, like, Twilight coming around, really fitting into that narrative, was just like, I'm not playing this game. I'm not going to sit there and listen to Paramore and Fall Out Boy and think this is any good. This is just trash. But anyway, so Artisian Pictures stopped releasing movies because clearly you're releasing just a ton of shit. And so they were like, oh, okay, we have to cash in on this. Like, 1998, 1999, we made so much money. We're profiteering. This is great. Blair Witch is going to be our cash cow. Let's turn this into a saga. And so they turned around and they offered 3 scripts. And I think the main dudes were like, no, we're not doing this anymore. We're going to go off. And they made a rom-com, or I think it was some kind of like romantic comedy, or it was like a romance film or whatever. So off they went and they were like, bye, we're going to go and do this. And so there was director Joe Berlinger who came on, and he conceived it, and he had a co-writer who was Dick Baby. That sounds like some sort of like Bugsy Malone. I'm Dick Baby, see? So when Dick Baby, she came on and they were writing it, you know, they were like, okay, let's do this. We cannot just fit the mold and make another found footage movie. There are elements of it that are kind of like found footage, or like air quote, like a mockumentary more. Because, you know, there's a narrative and people want to see a certain amount of, you know, familiarity to go and see a movie. That's what people do. People are stupid. That's why Marvel made so much money for so long, even though they're not making money anymore, because you're just piling on the shit. Like, even diehard Marvel fans I know are like, this is just trash. Anyway, so they conceived this movie that was a psychological thriller. And it discussed the concept of mass hysteria, essentially, which is, you know, what Blair Witch as a movie made. As I said, we had people actually believing they were going and see a snuff movie. So they were like, all right, well, let's actually discuss that. Let's not be a cookie cutter sequel. Let's go in and talk about, you know, what this film did, what Blair Witch 1 did, which is such a goddamn great idea. 10 out of 10, you know. And he concepted this whole idea, and each person in the movie, I'll give it a breakdown. So what you do is you have I think it's 5 people. Who went into the thing? You had the husband and wife, you had the goth chick, you have the witch trick, and then you have Tristan, Kim, and then the main guy, Steven, Jeff. Hi, Jeff. I remembered your name. You don't even need to have a name. And I also liked Swan Blair, which too, they made the actors keep their names because they did that in the original one, which, by the way, Artisian Pictures were like, stop doing that. And then they were like, Jesus Christ, would you stop ruining everything? We'll get on to how Artisian ruined this picture shortly. So they, you know, That's so good. That's such a good idea. It's so godforsakenly interesting. So the movie opens with, you know, we're looking at the time of town of Burkittsville, Maryland, which is where, you know, Blair Witch was, you know, meant to be based. And you see how all the tourism and hysteria around the, you know, Blair Witch Inn was affecting the town. And so this dude, Jeff, he's jumping on board. He's doing Blair Witch tours. He's selling, you know, Blair Witch crap on eBay. He's making his money out of it. So what you do is you get, like, him doing his first virgin tour, baby. We're all virgins on this ride. And, you know, that's cute. And everyone that they cast, they wanted to cast an element of, so each character was an element of the hysteria that Blair Witch had created. So you have Kim, who's a goth girl, because obviously that's going to be under fire. You know, you have Erica, who's a Wiccan. So she was representing the actual witch community that got a lot of flack for witchcraft after the Blair Witch. Like, we're talking like the Blair Witch, like, really, you can't see my hand, but I'm fingering fake pies. It really did cast a lot of cultural, you know, backlash on, you know, goths and Wiccans and all this other stuff. You got Jeff, who's the guy who's trying to cash in. He sees, you know, a gap in the market. Let's make money. That would probably be me. And then you've got a couple, and I got Tristan and Steven, and they are looking at the it's almost like the historical element of it and how it's psychologically affecting people. They're writing a paper called Mythohysteria, I think. It's something like that. What is it? Hypohysteria. Yes, bitch, I remembered. You know, so they're looking more at, like, you know, how the Blair Witch itself damaged the, you know, actual, like, legacy of this tale of, you know, murder and witches and whatever. When you say it's so dumb. Yeah, that's witch just made me kill a bunch of kids. And I'm like, all right, Son of Sam. Did a dog make you shoot a bunch of people? I think about Son of Sam all the time. And it's like, who gave that giant man a gun? And he just was shooting people. And he missed. He missed at so many. Like, he was shooting people at, like, point blank range. If you don't know who Son of Sam is, he was this, like, serial killer in, like, the 60s or 70s or some jazz like that. And he was, like, this massive dude. And he would just go up to people's car windows and shoot them. And he would, like, miss. Even me with my malnourished brain and my falling apart body could do a better job than Sonic. I say that now and I try and shoot someone and be like, I'm a bit lightheaded. I think I need to sit down. I'm lightheaded now and I am sitting down. Anyway, so they go on this dumbass thing, this dumbass tour. Like, okay, who goes on tours for anything? Stop. Like, if someone's like, do you want to go on a tour? I'd be like, no, that sounds stupid as fuck. Like, I can go on a map and find out where I want to go. I don't need to go on a bus with a bunch of, like, people in Crocs and flip-flops. I saw someone wearing flip-flops today, and it's like, it's only 16 degrees out. Would you calm down, lady? But, you know, that's neither here nor there. And I don't want to do a tour. I don't want to do a parade. Just everyone get away from me. I feel like I'm going to move my mic closer to my face, right? And I'm going to close my eyes because I'm so tired. And I'm going to have a little... I fall asleep on the podcast because there's no one here to keep me in check. Do you know why I'm doing so well? Like, notice how I haven't actually tangented. And we're talking about the goddamn, there's no goddamn witch in these woods. If you watch Blair Witch 2, you get that quote. We're talking about the goddamn movie for the first time in, like, Chris, how many years have we been doing this thing? Whatever, however long we're doing this podcast, it's the first time I've spoken about the movie at length. So someone give me a medal. I'm so tired. I'm so over it. I have to go to Sandwich in a bit as well. So I'm like, ugh. Sandwich is a town near me. I go, like, something like a half an hour drive. I'm tired. Okay, I'm very tired. Anyway, there's no goddamn witch in these woods. I literally don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, tours. I hate them. So they go on this tour. They get drunk. They smoke weed. Ooh, the early 2000s. This movie came out in 2000, by the way. You know? And they film the whole thing on cameras, Blair Witch style. They go to the ruins of Rustin Parr's house. So you get, like, throwbacks, because a lot of people on forums and stuff are like, it's got nothing to do with the Blair Witch. I'm like, yeah, okay. They're at at Rustin Parr's house. They're on a Blair Witch tour. We're in Burkittsville, Maryland. You're in the Black Hills. It couldn't have more to do with the goddamn Blair Witch if you tried. It's not like they went to Disneyland. It's in the Black Hills. Stop being that guy on the internet. But whatever, everyone is allowed their opinion. Clearly, these people didn't watch the movie. Anyway, they film it, yada, yada, yada. They wake up in the morning, they've all, like, passed out, and they're like, oh, my God, like, all our equipment is found everywhere, and I can't believe we didn't remember anything. Yeah, well, you got drunk, and you smoked weed. You're not going to remember anything, you idiots. But, hey, alcohol is the legal drug that should have been made illegal and accidentally got passed, and it's really, really bad for you. It's actually way worse for you than most of the drugs in the world out there. But, hey, there's a free pass to be addicted to a substance that's killing your body, but yet we can't go and smoke methamphetamine or take MDMA or smoke weed, which are drugs that are actually better than you. Please continue to live in your denial that alcohol is okay. Please, I love it. I love it. Cure yourself slowly with your denial and your bullshit. Let's just, you know, let's let our kids drink. Let's do all these... I'm going on a rant. I hate the accessibility to a drug that I have seen kill so many people and so many people struggle with to get out of rehab and stuff like that. But it's okay, right? Because our entire culture is built up around the fact that we need to drink to have a good time. No, you don't need to drink to have a good time. You haven't formed a godforsaken personality and you have no fucking self-confidence and you don't know how to act as a human and cut loose and let go and just be a human amongst other humans and engaging in a positive and affirming way. You just don't know how to do it. That's your problem. You have no personality. Go and develop some. That is what I say to people who need to drink to have a good time. Sorry you suck, Charlie. Maybe you should go back to the drawing board and get a better godforsaken personality. You got no confidence? Get some, buddy. It's everywhere. It's for free. I'm just angry that I can't take cocaine and stay skinny legally. I don't want to do cocaine. I don't need drugs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm fine. My personality is great. Like, this train wreck is for free, baby. Imagine if you put stimulants or depressants as alcohol is. And it's the other thing people drink and they're like, why am I so bummed? I'm like, you're drinking a diuretic that's also a depressant. Don't be stupid. Ignorant. And that's a really interesting point, actually. Like, alcohol, the ignorance of alcohol is, again, it's mass propaganda. You've been told that you can do this because you can buy it behind a counter. You've been told that you should take the drugs that doctors prescribe you. No, some of them are really massively addictive. Look at the opioid crisis in America because they give everyone like Oxycontin, like it's Tic Tacs and stuff. And you've got all these people wandering around who are addicted to drugs like fentanyl and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, because, you know, just because a doctor says it's okay, just because, you know, Tesco sells you like aisles and aisles, the amount of alcohol in supermarkets is disgusting. Because just because it's there doesn't mean it's okay. Okay, I smoke knowing it's going to kill me and I don't need the box to tell me, but they plaster that shit all over that box. Start plastering that all over alcohol. Start plastering that all over, like, you know, prescribed medication, because people should really, really, in big black and white bold letters like it has on cigarettes, be told the damage that this can do to your body and is doing to your body. But no, it's okay because, you know, alcohol and taxing alcohol and pubs are the backbone of a huge portion of our economy. So we can't really go back on our word now. So we're going to just pave over that wasn't a thing that we accidentally let slide. So yeah, when you're having your, you know, dark fruit cider or your white wine spritzer, you're putting in a drug that's worse for you than most other things out there that are illegal. And it should have been illegal. It just got through the cracks. And I'm done with my rant now. So yeah, they wake up, all their shit's destroyed, and they're like, oh my God, what happened? And couldn't have possibly been the alcohol that we put into our systems. And then, just in like a weird turn of events, Tristan and Steven, the married couple, Tristan's pregnant. She's like, oh, sorry, guys. I'm going to really ruin this party. I'm having a miscarriage. So they're like, oh, now we got to deal with this bitch. So they take her to the hospital. She has a miscarriage, yada, yada, yada. And then the dude, the Jeff guy who's running the tour, is like, do you want... Everyone's so dumb. Y'all want to come back to my abandoned broom factory I live in and I'll take care of you? No, Jeff, I want you to drive me back to my vehicle and take my wife back to our safe, clean apartment that's probably in Seattle or something where I can properly take care of her. But, oh, okay, broom factory sounds good. Let's go. And he lives in an actual shithole, but to be fair, if you did it up, it would be worth millions because it's huge. So they hang out at the broom factory and they're like, oh, let's start watching all the footage. And, you know, the footage is all jazzed up and is wrong. And, like, you know, Erica, the Wiccan girl, is dancing around a tree that wasn't there when they were actually staying there. And they were like, so there's this, this is the concept now of what, you know, originally Joan Barrigo and Dick Baby were trying to portray. Is this mass hysteria starts to take over the five guests of the broom factory, which sounds like it would be five stars on TripAdvisor because we all want to stay in some weird dude's broom factory. And, you know, they all start like getting paranoid and accusing each other, like, why is this there? Why is this there? And then everyone like slowly is descending into madness. Erica goes missing. She turns up dead in the closet, which is like, okay, cool. She has her little titties out. So if you want to see some tits, go nuts. She's got a cracking body. She's got great tits. So 10 out of 10 for those titties. They get like weird rashes on themselves, you know, again, which can be very much attributed to mass hysteria. I think they did a study in when there was some school in America and they discussed this on Good Bad Flicks on YouTube, which is interesting. If you've never watched that channel, please go check it out. It's absolutely fantastic. Where they did a... the writers did a study on these teachers and kids in this like elementary school who were always complaining of like headaches and dizziness, but they couldn't actually find anything wrong with them. But I think like once one person did it and the hysteria drove, like people genuinely thought they were sick and they were like going to hospital with symptoms, but there was nothing wrong with them. So like one person's got a rash, oh, now everyone else has the rash. Like it's this... it's the whole thing is a psychological study on what mass hysteria can do, you know, mass propaganda, mass, you know, just inserting extremisms and ideas into them. Again, like we said about alcohol, you're told it's okay, it's not okay, it's bad for you, like, you know, wait, you know, you're told that like caffeine is fine, no, it's really bad for you, like, do you know what I mean? Why do you think there's limits on like how many Red Bulls you can buy and stuff? Like people are dying from this stuff, people are dying from alcohol.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Oh, but hey, we put it on the shelf, so it's going to be okay, right? Like, no, that's not how this works. Hey, it's World War II and the Jews are bad, so let's get rid of them. Okay, why? You know, perfectly normal people would do insane things when, you know, they're told it's okay. They're given permission, you know, treat someone like an animal, they become the animal. Scott, my therapist, said a really great phrase to me the other day. She said, you know, your lover, your partner, the person you cherish the most, your husband, your wife, you know, the blow up doll you married, I don't care. There was a woman who married a roller coaster. Remember that, like that roller coaster, whatever that person is, you will see their true self and how they really feel about you when they're breaking up with you. That's the reality of the person that you have spent, you know, however much of your life with. So, you know, think about that. If you've ever ended things with your partner and then got back with them, or you've, you know, done, walked away from relationships and you're feeling terrible, but if it was a really messy breakup, the way they treated you, which is usually disgusting and bad and disrespectful, unfortunately, for people, and, you know, I'm sorry if you've dealt with that and you've gone through that. And the way they treat you at the end is who they've always really been and how they've always really valued you and judged you. And that's their true self. Like, that's the depravity of humanity. Like, your real self comes through at the end. And that's crazy. We all wear so many masks. Remember about 20 minutes ago when I said I wasn't going on tangents, and now I'm getting like... Hashtag deep. So anyway, you got this movie. Because that's what we talk about here. Movies. And, you know, we're getting really excellent displays of, you know, the story that was originally scripted. Now, round it up. Because we're going to get on to, we're going to slag off Artisium for a while, you know, and that's going to be great. And Summit Entertainment as well, who I also think were involved in Twilight. Everyone's involved in Twilight. It's everywhere. It's just Twilight is everywhere. I worked in Claire's during the Twilight hype and we sold a lot of shit. Like shit. Like you'd buy like the fake wedding ring and I was like, oh my God, I'm married. Yeah. Like, just put it on and be in it. Just being an asshole work basically. Like, which is literally what I do. I was at work the other day and they're making me redundant in my like really high paying government job. And I was Googling Chessington World of Adventures because I'm going there. And then my manager came in and they were like, and you can like visually see what is on my computer. So I've been made redundant, but I haven't been served my redundancy payment paperwork yet. So I don't actually know when I'm leaving. You can visually see me Googling Chessington World of Adventures. They're standing right next to me. Y'all can see what I'm doing. And he's like, are you busy, Rachel? And I went, yeah. And they were like, oh. And I was like, why? They're like, well, I need you to help me type up this form. And, you know, and I was like, I make time for you. And I'm like just closing tabs of like me shopping online and like Googling what rides I want to go on Chessington. I was like, I'm going to go on the vampire ride. I'm going to go look at that's the monorail and go around the zoo because that's what I'm going to do with my free time when I'm out of this place. I was just such an asshole about it. I am an asshole at all my jobs. I am not a good employee. You know, I don't care. I just don't. Just pay me money. Like, I'm good at every job I do. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I know I'm good at my job. I work harder than most of my coworkers in every job I do. Everyone I work with is, like, outstandingly lazy. And that's cool. That's your flex, right? Like, that's great. But they all think they're really good at their job and they're not doing anything. I go in knowing that I hate everyone and I hate my job and I'm not gonna care about this at the end of the day. But I will graft. I will graft. When I'm there. But now that they're like making me redundant in my government job, I'm like, yeah, I'm Googling what I want to see when I go to Chessington and leave me alone. I'm going to just like lie to your face. I once argued with my manager so much. This guy's retarded. He's stupid as heck. And I argued with him so much. He tried to leave the meeting. This was like last year. This wasn't even that long ago. He tried to leave the meeting and he was like, we can't have this discussion anymore, Rachel. Yeah, because he wasn't winning and he tried to cite something without evidence at me. And I was like, this is hearsay. You can't bring this up. I'll get my union rep in here. Don't think I won't. Like, it was like, I was like, you know, this is crap. This isn't, you can't document hearsay in a government job. It has to be fact. You can't state opinion. It always has to be fact. And I said that to him. I was like, you know this on a procedural form. You're stating opinion, not fact, which you can't do. That's illegal. That's, you know, it's hearsay essentially. Like, and I started just like laying in like, you know, really logical union facts. I used to be a union representative. And so you just, you know this jazz. And he tried to get up and leave. And I just went, Justin, I'm not, oh, I just said his name. And I was like, I'm not done with you. Sit back down. Like, he was like, we can't have this meeting. You're becoming too aggressive. I was like, I'm not aggressive at all. I was like, sit down. And he sat down and I forgot that I'd done that. And I was talking about it last night. And I was like, dude, I schooled a manager once to the point where they sat back down and carried on while I was like, your point is retarded and it's stupid and you've messed up here. And I could actually get a union rep in here and ruin your reputation and make a complaint about you. So you should apologize. And also, I think we should throw all this paperwork away and put it, you know, out of our lives for good. So sit down and let's do that. And that person did. And I was like, God damn, man. All you need in life is knowledge. Knowledge is power, everyone. If you don't have a union rep, that's cool. You don't need one. Go learn all your employment rights. And that's how you can go to work and be an asshole and get away with it and get paid a ton of money. Just, you know, just know your rights. It's as simple as that. So basically no one at my job wants to argue with me. And it's just like, okay, cool, fine. I don't know about my other jobs, but my government job where it's all very union based and very sort of like law and, you know, you have to follow all the paperwork. No one will argue with me anymore, which I find absolutely hilarious. So good for me. Someone give me a prize because I'm going on about how great I am today. Such an asshole today. Anyway, So you have this as I said, this is the concept of the movie. They're in the house. They've got the mass hysteria. The idea is that Tristan, when she had her abortion, she sucked that critter out of her. When she had her miscarriage, she actually became possessed by the Blair Witch, hence why she had the miscarriage. She spends the movie in gray, sad sweatpants. And I was like, love, I get you're possessed, but why don't you put on some sort of like 17th century witch dress and really like play the role? But she doesn't. She wanders around with unbrushed hair and her sad sweatpants, which makes me depressed. They've got no clothes because they're at that stupid broom factory. Put on a broom outfit. Just cosplay as a broom, love. And she slowly goes mad, and she eventually basically is like, I'm the witch, woo! And everyone's like, oh, no, Tristan, we never suspected anything when you were jumping on the bed screaming about the children's hand bloody prints. I'm shook from this. We never suspected anything when we found footage of you dressed in a black gown. Where was that black gown? She could have worn that. Oh, I bet they left it. No, Tristan. And so she ties a noose around her own neck, goes, and she thank God for the broom factory being so big. She's able to hang herself quite easily off a platform, like a factory platform walkway. And everyone's like, no, Tristan, we're so sad. And, that happens. And so obviously the cops have to come. And then the footage that the cops watch back, because they're like, yo, we didn't kill her. Like, it's on the, we filmed this, we had cameras everywhere. There's cameras all the time. This guy loved filming everything. That was another thing. The broom factory was full of like CCTV and cameras and things like that, because this is what this guy Jeff was into, hence why they filmed the tour. And we have to have a narrative as to why we're filming this trash. I say trash. I love this movie. God, stop. Come on, Rachel. You love Blair Witch too. Yeah, the idea is that the witch has manipulated the footage and all this stuff. Now, here's where we're going to get good. So Artisian and Summit Entertainment were like, there's not enough. I'm cosplaying right now as someone from that job, a distribution company. I don't know how they act, but I'm here to act like that. Oh, my phone is going off. It's my friends. I don't know which one. Should we read before I... come on. Stay on topic. Come on, everyone. Oh, my God. It's my friend who's going to help me get celebrities on the podcast. How interesting. Do you see what I'm saying? We're all just together in this. So it is more like, yo, we're about to mess this up. Hey, Dick Bebe and Joe Berlingo, however you say your surname, we are gonna ruin your movie with changing your soundtrack, changing all the editing, and we're gonna completely cut up the film, put it in a weird order. We're gonna add a bunch of sequences that make no sense, and we're gonna add a subtitle which also makes no sense. So the original film is Blair Witch 2. They added in Book of Shadows. Just in case you want to know, there is no book. There is no Book of Shadows. It's in fact never even referenced. It is the most pointless thing. What are they thinking? We're about to say that phrase a lot. What were Artisian and Summit Entertainment thinking during this time? Okay, so then they were like, hey, this is my business. Hey, I'm going to put my... Every voice is the same today. I can't do it. Okay, I can't. Hey, we're... Shoot me in the head. I'm going to do my gay man voice because that's just it today. Everything's the same. Hey, oh my God, Tessie, I have pictures. Here we go. I don't like your movie. It doesn't make any sense. Can you do some more killing, please? Because that's what the kiddies want to see. And they were like, no, because it doesn't make any sense. It's not about that. This isn't... Blair Witch 1 doesn't even really have killing in it, if you think about it. Blair Witch 1, I'm sorry. This is a movie about mass hysteria. What do you want about? So now, if we shoot back, you won't remember because I didn't mention it. So you're welcome. They bump into a bunch of tour groups when they're out on the OG Virgin tour, and they're all like, oh, these chumps, who cares? And actually, they're all like foreign and stuff like that. And that was a really little fun little Easter egg where they wanted to talk about how like the movie had reached international status at this point, which is crazy great for an independent movie, and it had. And congratulations. Because, like, it matters if I say congratulations, Jesus Christ. And anyway, they splice in found footage of that night where they were getting drunk and smoking weed and stuff. And they kill this other group of tourists and they put them in the pentagram shape, which was a callback from the OG movie. Again, there's another one. Shout out to everyone who went, Blair Witch 2's got nothing to do with Blair Witch. Yeah, it has. It's not meta, but come on, just I'm signaling for you to get on board here, kids. Just get on board. It is. They talk about it loads. It's called the Blair Witch Tours. It's there. They add things in like ghost children. Okay, all right. Why? So the idea was originally. With the ghost children, because obviously the ghost children of Rustin Park killed, that they would be sort of very subliminal. The ghost children that you would see, they would sort of, you know, flicker in and out. Very interesting, very good for suspense and fear and things like that and what have you. And then Artisian and Summit were like, nah, I want to see a big spooky ghost child and she's going to wibbly wobbly around and give everyone the heebie jeebies. And they were like, ugh, no, it's not subtle. It's trash. What is the fear of the Blair Witch is that you never see the Blair Witch. You never see the children. It's the idea of what is there, but is not seen. As I cite in so many podcasts, you know, as John Carpenter said, are you afraid of what's in the wood that you can't see? Or are you afraid of that the person next to you might kill you? Do you know what I mean? You can't reveal your killer straight away. You can't reveal the monster in the monster movie straight away. That doesn't make it scary, you know what I mean? And so that was the great thing about the Blair Witch. Y'all never see her. Y'all never see her. You never see the ghost of the children. It's just suggested. You hear them. So they used that idea. And then Artisian and Summit were like, no. So if you watch this movie, there's literal scenes of like these kids that they hire and they just got some face paint on them and they put them in like, you know, oh, I'm in some old timey clothing. I got knee-high socks on and some brown brogues. Blah, 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 blah. You know, a waistcoat and a bow tie. And, you know, they literally just dumped these actors in and were like, yeah, that's scary, right? No, it's not. It's stupid. If you honestly, right, if like, what was I, 14 when I saw this movie? If 14-year-old me had watched this movie and you had like the figure or the idea of a ghost like in the background, that's terrifying. I don't like the remake of it, but there's a scene where there's a fat kid and he's in the library and just out of focus in the background is like the creepy like librarian woman, and she's like proper wide smiling like she's possessed by Pennywise, or it's like, you know, I'm really bad with it, I haven't, you know, I don't really care about it, that's you know, so forgive me for making mistakes right now, I will, you know, get on board, I've seen them all, I just don't care about it. Like, you know, like Pennywise leaves like things around like to haunt them, to remind them that he's always watching. Yeah, there's like some librarian woman, she's like really hugely grinning. That is terrifying, dude. That is terrifying. You know, it's out of focus, you're looking at the fatty. And he's probably reading a recipe book or something, getting ideas for later, you know, little chocolate cake action. And you got this woman in the background. If you had done that in Blair Witch 2, holy heck. But no, we don't get that. We get, you know, Kim driving her, you know, GMC wagon home from the beer run. Again, alcohol, great guys, keep piling on the drugs. I sound like such a dork, like, don't drink, kids. To hell with you, I think that, you know, freedom of choice though. And literally they're just like standing there, like so poorly lit, the makeup's terrible, they look like they're out trick-or-treating, like, you know, you got any airheads? No, kids, get out the road, I'm gonna run you down with my GMC car is much bigger than you anyway. You could kill a bunch of kids when one of those big GMCs, I really want one. And America V8 America GMC ruin that. Okay, great. Thanks, Artisian. And then they were like, oh yeah. We're back. Hey, everyone, keep up. We're back to cosplaying. I know every character sounds the same today, but remember, I'm tired.
Oh yeah, I remember, like, you know, when you put all that cool music in and it was kind of artsy and fun. I don't want to do that anymore because nu metal is popular and it's 2000, so we're going to play Nickelback and Marilyn Manson all the time.
The opening credits of the film, you have this lovely, like, what would be now like a drone shot over the Black Hills, over the forest. And they were originally playing Frank Sinatra's song, Witchcraft. No single bit of it, it's witchcraft. I don't know that song. That. And that is like a weird opening to a movie, but I'd have been like, oh yeah, sick, cool, man, that looks great. What an, you, we're setting the scene. This is odd, okay? And then they changed it to Disposable Teens by Marilyn Manson because it was on brand. Because it's got nothing to do with the movie. It's on brand at that time. It's going to sell more soundtrack CDs when we're done with this. Okay, let's do that. Let's not care about the ambience that those you know, the directors and the writers were trying to set. No. We're going to make money. Let's not care about the narrative of this movie about being mass hysteria. Let's just put in scenes of gore for no reason. Then what they do, Artisian and Summit were like, oh yeah, by the way that the film like works, where it's like a story, we don't like that anymore, and we're going to cut it up, and then we're going to make it make no sense. That is what they did. They started like editing this movie to the point where there's like a lot of, because obviously they all get arrested for Tristan being hung, and they splice in the interrogation scenes of the police just randomly in the movie. They're just like, and we'll chuck it there, and then we chuck it there, and then we'll chuck a little bit there, and I'm gonna sprinkle a little bit over here. And you're just going like, if you watched a courthouse drama film, it was a good courthouse drama film, like a Primal Fear and Devil's Advocate, stuff like that. I don't know, whatever. I don't really watch courthouse, like the film. I don't watch courthouse drama films. Some are okay. I'm just, it's just not for me. If you put that in randomly in the film, like, you know, the court trial or the police interrogation without any context at that point of why they're there, you in your mind are going, oh, well, maybe it's creating suspense. Ooh, intrigue. But in this movie, it didn't make sense. It didn't need to be there. It jars the narration of, you know, painting a picture of mass hysteria, right? It takes away from that. You need to be involved in the mass hysteria as an audience. You need to be in it. You need to be starting to be questioning everyone. You need to be suspicious. Who's Jeff? Why does he own a broom factory? How many brooms did the Blair Witch own? Did he supply the brooms? You know what I mean? You need to be like in that zone. Kim, she's a goth. Didn't she like daddy? You know, you need to be like pulling apart characters and stuff like that, but you're not. You're watching, they're giving it to you on a plate with these ridiculous, like, you know, interrogation scenes, which are so stupid. And the sheriff dude that they hire, right? Don't get me wrong, he's funny as, but his character is just poorly written. Like, he's a southern sheriff of a town, takes his job too seriously. There's a scene where the goth girl is like in the interrogation room and he's like, wipe that shit off your face, young lady, and throws her like makeup wipes. I'd be like, no, my makeup has nothing to do with whether you can ask me questions. Are you just being that douche? And it's a crap character. Like, I feel like if you'd had the sheriff be this like far more like intellectually engaging person, like he's gonna psychologically break them, not just like slam his hands down over an iron table. Ooh, an iron. Yeah, it's all the tables are made of iron. That'd be really heavy, like a steel table, and be like, "What are you doing, boy?" Like that is it. And it's like that's it's just crass, man. Like, give me, you know, if this guy had sat down and been like way more like Edward Norton in The People versus Larry Flint, like a nerdy guy, and being like, so where were you the night of? Da, 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 da. And Kim's like, well, I was running down children dressed like they were from the 17th century in my American GMC. America GMC. Do you know what I mean? You're engaged. You're compelled. But they ruined it. So it got to the point where Joe Berlinger, I think I finally pronounced his name right. Come on, I'm tired. Give me an award. Where Joe Bollinger and Dick Baby and all of those people almost were like, well, I don't associate us with this movie. Like they were like, we do not want to be associated with this movie. And they just wanted out of it. They were like, we're so over this. You know, he wanted to have a movie that was inspired by the lazy consumption of media, as he said. He wanted to have a, you know, a study, if you will, on how sometimes humans are just walking sheep, and they'll believe anything that the media and the press tell you, and about obsession and being an uber fan and the dangers of fact and fiction and not having the guidelines, that people aren't going to do their research. Again, like we were saying, and we're going to keep coming back to real life and stuff, is you don't do your research about the medication your doctor gives you, then, well, that's on you, isn't it? Like, we can't be handheld. And the people who thought that the Blair Witch was real, come on, do a bit of research. It was ruined for him, and it's terrible. And that, he said things like, the gore sequences just went against the ambiguity he was trying to create in the film, the mystery, the study of each of these characters that they'd very cleverly written to, as I said, be each of them representing a facet of what it's like to be caught up within fandom and fanaticism. I can never say that word properly, so forgive me. He was just completely, this guy was completely, everything was compromised, everything was intercut, everything was just arranged and just ruined terribly. The interrogation sequences, from what I remember when I read things that he has said about it, were meant to be put at either end of the film. So you start with it, you get an idea. Well, you don't get an idea. It's like, oh, what's happened? And then you get none of it through the film. And then you get the end, you get the finale where it all gets wrapped up and stuff. And they were just like, no, let's just shove it in the middle. Let's just shove in these murder things. So that linear narrative is just ruined. And it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous that they did that. So apparently there is a director's cut, which is the Artisan Summit Entertainment tragedy, and it's so disgusting that it's not been released. It's like, I'm so sad. I would love to see it, because apparently it's a great idea, it's a great movie, and I want to see the original version of it. And they tried to do the same kind of thing where they would do pseudo documentaries on the Sci-Fi Channel. They were releasing teaser trailers on the internet. They were making it all ambiguous. Thanks, everyone. They did teaser trailers as well, where someone would show the book of air quote, you can't see, audio listeners, the book of shadows. But then, as I said, the book of shadows, whatever the hell that means, because you don't know if you watch the movie, is never referenced in the movie. It's not even said. And it's like, so then they're releasing trailers of this movie that make no sense. So people are going into it and going, what am I watching? Da 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 da. There was so much stuff that this basically, unfortunately, got ruined. This movie got ruined by a production company, a distribution company, editors and stuff like that, who were trying to cash in. Even down to, as I said, let's put, Nickelback and Marilyn Manson. There's nothing wrong with that music. It's well chosen. It is what it is. But they're putting that in because it's popular at the time and they can cash in on a soundtrack afterwards. Like, everything about this film was, great to begin with and then sucked dry by the greed of Hollywood. And I get it. It's show business. This is a business machine. This is how it rolls. But don't absolutely butcher a film to the point where the people who wrote it and directed it were like, I don't want to be associated with this movie. I don't want to be associated. And obviously then this movie comes out and it's panned. It's completely panned. People were just like, this is just trash and falsified everything that was pure and interesting about the Blair Witch. And you're like, so then I'm sitting there, and while everyone's trashing it, okay, that's fine. We're all allowed our opinion. I'm a critic. That's what I do. I have an opinion on movies. I come in very sort of like mid-range and always say, this is how I feel, but this isn't generally generally what everyone else should feel. I'm not telling you what to watch. A lot of people panned a movie that could have been good because it was destroyed for money and Who test screened this movie? People should have test screened this more. Y'all should have test screened, like, you know, the director's cut and Artisan and Summit's version side by side, and then and got the audience and said, okay, which one? Like, which one do you want? You want the Frank Sinatra opening witchcraft one, or do you want your Marilyn Manson one? Like, you could, like, cut it down to how much they're trying to cash cow out by just that opening sequence with that, like, you know, drone shot with that music. You could do that, like. You should have done that. Whoever organizes test screenings, who are you? Why haven't I been invited? I want to tell you what I think is shit. Press the button. It's bad. Electric shocks. But yeah, this movie got dead. This just got destroyed. It just, everyone hated it. You know, people really kind of missed the mark of what it was meant to be about, understandably, because it had been so chopped and changed and destroyed. You know, when I first watched this movie, I was 14. I enjoyed the movie because I thought it was just fun. It's a fun, goofy movie. If you bought it on VHS or DVD, they had something called The Secret of Escreva, which is reverse. And there were, like, clues in the movie you could go back and you could watch. And yeah, you put the clues into the website at the time and then it get unlocked, like, bonus features. You know, stuff like that when you're, like, 14, 15 years old and you're a dumbass. You're like, oh, that's really fun. You know what I mean? Like, dumbass me thought this movie was cool. And there's a lot of stuff from my youth, like, that I will go back. Like, I hate people who stay in their youth. You know, I don't hate you. That's crazy. The only person I hate is my mother. Like... I don't get it. Like, if that's what you want to do and if you want to live in your nostalgia, that's cool. But there's a lot of stuff that I would listen to or watch when I was, like, a teenager, or even actually, do you know what? I figured it out the other day. I had this moment where everything I enjoyed between the ages of, like, 18 to 24, I really despise now. Like, I hate it. Like, I really hated that. Maybe media was really bad there. I hated the fashion, the music, the films. I can't go back and watch any of that. It's just trash. Some, like, early 2000s stuff was, you know, it's cool. Guys, really weird. Like, honestly, like, 18 to 24, I'm like, everything I had taste in was the worst. And I hate myself. And I want to erase myself from the world at that point. I was like, what was I doing? Music and movie, my choices were awful. No, it's not true. Because I discovered Twin Peaks at 21. Thanks, James, my ex-boyfriend. Like some of it sifts through, as I said. Like, Brick is great. Rules of Attraction, Twin Peaks. Some great movies came through. There was zero music that I care about from that time frame. There's not a single band that I listened to at, like, 18 and still listen to now. Tell a Lie, Block Party, that would be it. I honestly at a stretch would say Block Party. That is about it. Wow. And clothing wise get in the bin. My god, nothing good. And anyway, but you know when you're, like, a teenager and you're watching Blair Witch, Book of Shadows, it's the year 2000, you're like, oh, this is fun, I can look for clues, I can do this, the movie is fun, it's like, you know, it's got its pace, it's a bit spooky in places, you know, watching the creepy ghost kids and the murders, you know, 14 year old you's like, yes, cool. And I went back and watched this movie numerous times in my life and I'm like, this movie holds up. I enjoy this movie. It is what it is. It's nothing too hard. Is it good? Is it what I thought it was at 14? Oh, of course not. No, I'm watching a movie at, like, you know, 35. I understand the failures of it and the plot falls and some of the goofy scripts and the bad acting from, like, the sheriff and stuff. You know, like, it's not his acting. It's just the role he was cast to play. Like, I get it. Like, you know, there are things that I personally don't gravitate towards now. I can understand why an older audience would go, it's kind of dumb. But, you know, I watch it with that understanding in the same way that I watch Blair Witch Un, where I go, this could have been really good. And I watch it now and I'm seeing the studies of mass hysteria within it. And, you know, I'm looking at the characters being each a version of, you know, how mass hysteria has affected them or how it's going to affect, you know, the story of this film. And I'm just so bummed that, you know, Artisan and Summit did the dirty on this movie. And now the point of today's episode was, you know, don't listen to critics, don't listen to reviews, don't listen, well, observe how many stars that it's gonna have on Amazon. I don't know, I haven't looked, I just saw it and went, ah! I mean, I don't need to rewatch it on Amazon, I own it on godforsaken VHS and DVD. Go into this movie and watch it for what it could have been and what it has got still remaining for it. And and, you know, make your own opinion and form it. And, you know, the acting is great. The sets are great. You know, that Broom Factory guys, you know, whew, that's... It looks cool. The CGI, they had a robotic owl for some shots. God, it's so 2000s, dude. It's so 2000s. It's cool, man. It's an interesting study of a film. And I think that when I forever cite movies that have been ruined by editing and production companies and distribution companies, I always say to people, Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows, like, that's the one. That's the movie that, you know, famously was ruined by, you know, the greedy hands of, you know, Hollywood, if you will. And I get it. Business is business. Y'all got to make a return. This movie did make a return, which is great. You know, it had a budget of like 15 million or whatever, and it made its return. I think it was the numbers here. It made 26 million at box office. And that's great. You know, you made your return. You did what you set out to do. But at what cost? You know, you ruined what could have been a great movie. And I feel bad these people made this movie. These actors were, you know, unknown, and this was their big break, and they created something. Also, they created it in 9 weeks. Their turnaround for this was 9 weeks. That's what they were given, because they wanted to get that out and cash in ASAP. Again, we're looking at, you know, all the crap about money. And I get it, capitalism, we need to do it. But, you know, you had all these things where these people wrote this movie, these actors were like, wow, this is our big break. And then because of greed, it gets ruined. So I think if you do sit down at Prime and you see Little Blair Witch, Book of Shadows, what book? Me with the Bible. What does it mean? Give it a chance. Give it a chance. Give it some love. Ignore all the bad criticisms. Ignore what you think about sequels. This isn't a sequel in that sense. It's almost like, you know, it's a social study of what the Blair Witch did to culture in 1998. And I think when you watch it now, that's really interesting to watch, because we don't have mass hysteria in the same way about media anymore, because we're so saturated by media, which I really hate. It's really boring. I hate being saturated by media. I know that sounds silly, being a film critic and everything like that, but I liked going to Blockbuster. I liked going and buying a DVD and really, you know, treasuring it and watching it again and again, you know, like I did with Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows. And, you know, that's why you would do the fun little quiz and unlock the secrets on the internet. You would watch movies over and over again. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to say that there aren't elements of streaming services that I find, you know, attractive. But give it a chance. Enjoy Blair Witch. This is the most serious I've ever been on a show. Anyway, no one watched episode 3, the saga, Blair Witch Street. Don't watch it. It's just shit. It's just trash. Like, I'm not going to, like, you know, as a, like, do you remember, hey, audio listeners, remember 20 minutes ago, I was like, as a critic, I'm like reasonable and I like let, yeah, and didn't I try and be objective? I'm not going to be objective about the third one. It's dreadful. The actors, dreadful. The character development, non-existent. The storyline, a snooze fest. And that's the movie where they show the witch. Maybe that's me, just because I don't like it when they show the witch. Who knows? I don't know. The ambiguity is, like, absolutely dead and gone with Blair Witch after that third one, which is a real shame. I didn't have high hopes for it. I had some hopes. Yeah, so Blair Witch 2, at least, though, doesn't give you a big, godforsaken, skinny witch chasing you around, which is nice. Yeah, so if you do find yourself sitting there and Blair Witch 2 pops up and you've listened to this podcast, go give it a bash. Go see what you think, you know, enjoy it. Take it for what it is. Remember that Artisan and Summit ruined it for us. And that's okay. That's okay. You get that coin. At the end of the day, they're rich. We're not. I've been talking for an hour and 15 minutes by myself. So if y'all enjoyed the content where I actually don't have someone here to distract me and I'm able to actually do my job and actually talk about movies, drop us a comment below. That'd be great. I'd love to hear what you think about this format. I don't mind doing it by myself. I genuinely don't. Like, you know, as I said, I can chat forever. I'm chill with it. And I thought, you know, let's not unlike the people in Blair Witch 2 who wrote it, let's have a social experiment and try something new. So that's what I did. And Yeah, it's been cool, man. I don't mind doing it. I honestly can chat. You give me the right movie topic, I'll talk about it forever, man. You know what I mean? Like, you want to get me on here and talk about Sessions 9? Hell, we should do a Hell House. There's no one here. Like, there's just me looking at the Real Acumas going, do you want to do one on Hell House? We should do one on Real Acumas. Are you in? Do you like it, Real Acuma? Big boy Papa Kuma's like, I like Hell House 2. I do like Hell House 2. Hell House 3, Lake of Fire is really good, though. You should watch that one, Big Boy Papa Kuma. It's a good episode. I've gone mad. Yeah, living for it. Iconic. I might do a Hell House one because no one loves Hell House as much as me. I think I've already done Hell House. Oh. I'll worry about that later. I'll do it again. You can't stop me, Chris. You can't stop me talking about films all the time. Anyway, if you enjoy this, yeah, drop us a comment below. If you enjoy Serious Me, where I actually do my job, let me know. If you want me to go back to having loads of guests all the time and just being a douchebag, cool, let me know. I'm happy. I'll be a douchebag. I'll be a douchebag at work. I'll be a douchebag here. I'll be unfocused and unable to talk about films because I'm just hyped. Living on the joy juice of life, man, as we spin on the planet through this big celestial mind sphere of awfulness. Yes, let's go. And of course, as I always say, please go give us a follow on all our social medias. We're at UK Film Review on Facebook. We're at UK Film Review on Instagram. You got us on Spotify. You got us on iTunes or whatever it's called. You know, you got us on all the relevant streaming platforms. And if you want to drop us a question, an email, a query, you want us to review one of your independent short films, you want to sponsor us, you want us to go to your film festival, head over to www.ukfilmreview.co.uk, where you can drop us an email with all your queries. And we will get back to you. Not me personally, I'm not given any position of power. Big Boy Daddy Chris will get back to you and point you in the right direction. So that's sick. So once again, if you've enjoyed this, please just drop us a like, a subscribe. Please just rate the show, whatever you feel like doing. If you don't want to do it and you think I'm absolute trash, cool, that's, man, that's fine. That's your opinion. That's great. I'm loving that as well. Everyone's got their opinion. And always, this is goodbye from me. It's goodbye from my non-co-hosts. Goodbye from the Kumas, Val, and the Giggly Wiggly. And I will look forward to seeing you next month where I may or may not be alone on my own again.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.